After his marriage, we don't force him to divorce his wife. Shimon Gamliel says this is only if the women are small. If they're large women, we do force him to divorce. Yehuda's version of the Mishnah is that it spoke of a man who developed the mum. Chia Bar Rav's version of the Mishnah was spoke of a man who has always had the mum. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he would surely agree if the man always had the mum, he would not be forced to divorce her because she knew about it and accepted it, and she married him nonetheless. According to Chia Bar Rav, it may be that if they developed later, then the woman could force the husband to divorce her. In fact, Gemara Shimon Gamliel said in the Mishnah, there's a difference between small and large mumen. According to Chia Bar Rav, since she knew about the mum and accepted it, why should there be any difference? Gemara says, because the woman says, I thought I'd be able to handle living with it, but I realize now that I cannot. A Braisa lists the large mumen referred to by Shimon Gamliel as his eye was blinded, his arm was cut off, or his foot was broken. Rav Bar Yaakov, name of Yaakov, passed like Shimon Gamliel, whereas Rav, name of Nachman, passed like the Chachamim. In fact, we learned that the Rav Bar Yaakov, name of Yaakov, always passed like Shimon Gamliel in the Mishnah, except for three cases. So why does he have to specifically pass like him over here? Mar says there are differing opinions among the Amoraim as to how Rabbi Yechon and Paskind. Zok, the Mishnah following are men who are forced to divorce their wives. A man who has boils, shchin. A man who has polypus, we'll see what that means in the Gemara. A man who works as a gatherer, we'll see what that means. As a copper refiner, as a tanner. She may force a divorce whether these conditions were present before the marriage or whether they came about after the marriage. About all of these, Rabbi says that even if she accepted them upon herself earlier, she can force a divorce now because she can say, I thought I was able to live with these, but now I realize that I cannot. The Chum say she's forced to live with these conditions except for the condition of a man with shchin, boils, because tashmish with such a man makes his skin deteriorate even further. It once happened in Sida in Zakta Mishnah that a woman whose husband was a tanner and died without children said that she refuses to do yibum with the brother, with the yavam, because he was a tanner. The Chum say it's within her right to do so because she can say that she only accepted living like that with her husband and did not accept that with this man's, with her husband's brother. Zakta Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, name of Shmuel, said polypus refers to a bad smell from his nose. Abrai said it refers to bad breath. Rav Asi says these views are actually reversed. The Mishnah said, "Hamikameh." Rabbi Yehuda said this refers to someone who gathers dog waste with his hands. Bryce says it refers to a tanner. Where said we see in another Bryce that it's machlekes among tanaim what it actually refers to. Mishnah said, "Hamatsarif nechayishes v'abursir." Rabbi Ashi said the copper refiner refers to someone who makes copper into pots. Rabbi Barachana said it refers to someone who mines copper. Bryce says like Rabbi Barachana as well. Rav said if a husband says that he refuses to feed and support his wife, he has to divorce her and pay her ksuba. When Rabbi Lazar repeated this to Shmuel, Shmuel responded, showing that he felt that it was incorrect, saying that if we force him to do something, we might as well just force him to support her. Rav said forcing him to support her would only be a temporary fix because he's going to decide to stop supporting her the next day, and therefore we allow her to force him to divorce. Rabbi Yehuda Rassi said, we only force men to divorce wives who are usher to marry them. He said that Shmuel explained this to mean like a case of a Kohen Gadol married to a widow, a divorcee, or a chalutza to a regular Kohen, a mamzeris or nasina married to Yisrael, Yisrael is married to a nasin or mamza. However, if a man was married for 10 years without children, we would not force him to divorce his wife. Chalifa Baravimi in the name of Shmuel said that even in the case of a man married 10 years without children, we would force him to divorce his wife. In fact, our Mishnah lists case of forcing divorce and doesn't mention all of these additional cases. According to Rabbi Asi, we can say that the Mishnah only deals with cases of the Rabbanon and these other cases of these women who are also to their husbands out of their rights. That's why we don't mention them. However, according to Rabbi Techalifa, the case of being married 10 years, having to divorce such a woman is all, without, you know, with children is only the Rabbanon. So why does the Mishnah list that as well? Rav Nachman said, our Mishnah lists cases where we physically force him. The case over here of being married 10 years without children is something that we try to force with words, but we don't actually physically force. Rabbi Abba asked, we learn from a pasuk that words are never sufficient to force someone to do anything. So it doesn't make sense we'd only force with words. Or Baba said, even for the case of being married 10 years without children, we would physically force. The reason why we don't listen to the Mishnah is because in all the other cases of the Mishnah, if she says she wants to remain married to him, and we don't have to force a divorce. In the case of when she's married 10 years without children, so even if she says so, we would force the divorce. The fact that where the man has boils, we don't allow her to remain married to him, even if she wants to. The Mara says, we would allow her to remain married if she agrees never to have tashmish with him. Rabbi Yossi says in a braisa there are 24 types of boils, all of which are aggravated by tashmish. The worst of the boils are the boils called rason. The Gemara says rason comes from a baby conceived from tashmish that between a man and a woman who had both had the bloodletting procedure and ate nothing afterwards and then had tashmish. Characteristics of the sickness are tearing eyes, running nose, drooling, and flies flying around this person. Abaye gave a detailed process of how one can be healed from the sickness, which is actually caused by some type of organism lodged in the person's brain. It's so contagious, Dr. Gemara, that many of the Chachamim would not sit near this person, would not even sit downwind from such a person. Some wouldn't even enter the tent of such a person or even eat food that came from the neighborhood of a person who was sick with Rason. Rehum Levi would sit right next to such a person while he was learning, because he said the Torah would be Megan on him, protect him, and therefore he wasn't concern. The Gemara tells the story of Rishu Malevi, who asked to see his place in Gan Eden before he died. The Malach HaMavis took him up there and gave Rishu Malevi his knife, so Rishu Malevi shouldn't have to worry that he'll be put to death on the way. When he got to the wall around Gan Eden, he jumped over the wall. In heaven, it was decided that he would be allowed to remain there and would not have to go through with death. However, he was asked to return the knife so that the world could continue with people dying. A similar story happened with Hanina by Papa, but the Malach HaMavis refused to give his knife to him to hold. He explained that Rabbi Shimon Levi was allowed to do so only because he sat next to people with Rasson, as he learned. Rabbi Hanina said people in Bavel are not afflicted with Rasson because they eat beets and drink certain beers. Rabbi Yochanan said people in Bavel are not afflicted with Saras because they eat beets, drink beer, and bathe in the Euphrates River. Hadnalach Perek HaMadir.